start reading in verse 26, and we'll read down through verse 35. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph from the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. That word means graciously accepted or much graced. We could say that about all of us. Highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered her and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. It's a wonderful thing to always, and I believe I do it, I pray I do it, is I always deal with our Lord Jesus Christ. But today I want to call attention to some things about our Lord Jesus. The angel came, Mary's cousin Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. She was in her sixth month of pregnancy. Mary had been up there with her, visiting her. She went home and the angel came to her, told her she is going to have a child. He was the son of David. And he told her, You is graciously blessed of God, much graced of God. You see, Mary had to be saved just like every other sinner had to be saved. Had to be saved by grace. God gave her grace. The only difference in her and any other woman named Mary or any other woman in Israel at that time was God made the difference. God made her, he said here, much graced in the sight of God. Nothing different about Mary than any other woman that was born at that time. There's Mary Magdalene. She had seven devils, but God gave her grace too and saved her. And so Mary was chosen of God, favored of God, graced of God. Nothing special. The only thing made her special was the grace of God. That God chose her to bear His Son. Now people say, boy, Mary, Mary is special. Grace makes all of God's people peculiar to Him and Him alone. And people find that hard to deal with, because everybody reveres Mary so much. But she had to be saved by God's grace and set apart by God's grace as much as anybody else did. She just happened to be the one that God said, I've chose you, I've set you apart, and I've graced you highly to do something that nobody else on the top side of God's earth will be allowed to do. You're going to bear my son. Well, how in the world is that going to happen? I'm going to be the one to cause him to be placed in your womb. I, God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, is going to come upon you and you're going to have a child in your womb and say, oh, how can this be? I don't know a man. I'll do it. And then she goes on down here and says, there in verse 31, the angel told her, said, don't be afraid now. Don't be afraid. God's blessed you with grace. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And this is what you're going to name him. You're going to name him Jesus. Jesus is the same word as Joshua in the Old Testament. Jehovah our Savior. Jehovah our Savior. And this is what I want to talk about right here in verse 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Talk about he shall be great. Talking about his humanity, what he would be when he come into this world. Hadn't been born yet. Hadn't even been conceived in her womb yet. Just told her what was going to happen. But it says when he comes forth, you're going to name him Jesus. Talking about his humanity. Talking about his humanity. Him coming into this world. But when we talk about our Lord and his deity, our Lord and his Godhead, we have to speak in a great higher way than just that he should be great. But as a man, our Lord Jesus, being born of a virgin, before his birth, the angel said to her, he shall be great, the Son of the Highest. Now, when we talk about his name being called Jesus and shall be great, we're talking about the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man in his humanity. And you talking about stooping. You know the greatest humiliation he had, other than going to the cross, was coming into this world and taking on him human nature. To become identified with us. When he calls us worms, and our Lord said, I'm a worm and no man, identified with us that way. Identified himself with us as sinners, as us in the flesh. And he come and stooped low, when apart from the eyes of faith, when they and men looked at him, he didn't look very great when he is in this world. Didn't look very great only to those who have eyes of faith. When he was born in Bethlehem, he's wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And when he hung on his mother's breast, he didn't look very great. When he grew up as a man, he was despised and rejected and ridiculed and crucified. That didn't look very great. When he was so poor that he said one time, I have no place to lay my head. That don't sound very great, does it? He was the song of the drunkard. When the drunks started singing, he was the song of the drunkard. He was called a wine bibber, accused of having a devil. And all the great ones of that day said, we don't know from whence this man is. We know where Moses is from. We don't know who this fella is. We don't know who he is. He was brought before Herod, brought before the Sanhedrin, and brought before Pilate, and put on trial. And they found him guilty and condemned him to the greatest sufferings, even the death on the cross. Who would have thought him great when he was covered with blood all over his body and sweat, and apprehended and put on a cross as a criminal, as one of the worst criminals? You wouldn't have said, that man's great. You wouldn't have said that about him then. You wouldn't have said he was great when he was sold for the price of a slave, bound and led away as a lamb to the slaughter and to the judgment of a criminal on a cross. You wouldn't have thought he's great when his mother's soul was pierced with a sword, and her heart was as she beheld her son hanging there suffering, and remembered the angel saying, and wonder, how could this be? No doubt our Lord Jesus Christ, when we read this here, he shall be great, and they call his name Jesus. We're speaking of his manhood, being a man. But one old hymn writer said, he who on earth as a man was known and bore our sins and pains, now seated on the throne above, the God of glory reigns. He said he should be great. And what did he say? The Lord God should give unto him the throne of David. The throne of David. And our Lord Jesus now, the man, Christ Jesus. Or Herman Moore, he was pastored over there where Tim James is now in Cherokee, North Carolina. He preached a message back in the late 70s. And it was called, There's a Man in Glory. If you ever run across that, you ought to hear that. There's a man in glory. But I tell you, the man, Christ Jesus, now sits on a throne, glorious, glorious throne, and reigns as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Peter said that God gave him to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel. And I tell you, Stephen, when they was stoning him to death, the scriptures tells us that Stephen said, I see the Lord Jesus standing on the right hand of glory. I see him standing there on the right hand of glory. And I tell you what, we as God's people never make a distinction between our Lord's deity and our Lord's humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of David after the flesh. Son of the highest as the Son of God. He said he purchased the church of God. He, Christ, purchased, what did he call it? The church of God with his own blood. We call him both our God and our Savior. The man, Christ Jesus. And I want to talk about how he's great in his man, as a man and as God both. And one person. And that's what he talks about. And when we talk about our Savior, he's great, glorious, from any way you want to view him. Any way you want to view him. That's why it's so hard. You know, there's so many aspects, so many beauties about our Lord that you can't deal with all of them at one time. It's just an impossibility. But yet we can deal with him. We ought to deal with him in every service. But he's great, great and glorious for many ways that you view him. Let's look at him, first of all, in the perfections of his nature. In the perfection of his nature. Now I'll tell you what, as God, he was very God of very God. When he identified himself to be one with his Father, they picked up stones to stone him. What are you going to stone me for? Because you, being a man, make yourself to be God. He didn't make himself to be God. He was God. He didn't take that upon himself. He was God in eternity. He was God in time. And he'll always be God. And I tell you what, as God, he was infinite. As God, he was immeasurable. As God, he's incomprehensible. As God, he's immeasurable. And he fills all things, and yet all things cannot, nothing, nowhere can contain him. He fills everything in this universe, and yet there's nothing in this universe that can hold him. Can contain him. And I tell you, I want you to keep Luke, and I want you to look over here in John chapter 1. I quote this all the time, but I tell you what, you need to actually read it. Oh, listen, he fills all things, yet is not contained by anything. Oh, my. You know, it talks about he's God over all, blessed forever. That God gave him the preeminence in all things. But this is what we're talking about. We're talking about God. And how perfect his glorious nature was. Look in John 1:1. In the beginning, first place you saw that at was in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. And here you find him. In the beginning was the Word, capitalized. That's his person. And the Word was with God. Where was He at? God said. That's where He was. God said, let there be. And the Word went forth. And there said, let there be light. And the Word went forth and said, there's light. And the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now listen to this. All things were made by Him. The Word became a person. The Word became a person, and all things were made by Him, and without Him, not anything that was made. And listen to this. It's the kicker right here. And in Him was life. And the life is the one that lights us up and gives us the light in our darkness. Oh my, bless His name. So He's God. Don't never forget that. And He's God. We worship Him as God. We come to Him as God. But He's also a man. And as a man, there's never been a man on top side of God's earth like the Lord Jesus Christ. Never been a man like Him. A lot of men have been born. Abraham was a blessed man. Noah was a blessed man. Abel was a blessed man. But there's never been a man on this earth like our Lord Jesus Christ. He is perfectly and purely God, and yet He is absolutely, really, truly man. Now how do you explain that? You could see Him and touch Him, and He could bleed, He could cry, He could hurt, He could get hungry, He could sleep, and yet at the same time, He was God. Now God don't sleep, but the man does. God don't rest, but the man Christ Jesus does. This is the greatest mystery that anybody have ever conceived in their brain. How can God and man be on this earth at the same time in the person of Jesus Christ? Huh? I don't know how to explain it other than just say it's so. I don't have to understand all things, but I'll tell you what I believe in. I told somebody one time, if the Bible says that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe that. That's what the Word said. That's how convinced I am that God's Word's right and true. Huh? Oh my. He's not the greatest of the great. There's nothing great that you can even come in to compare with Him when it said He shall be great. What made Him great? He's the Son of the Highest. What made Him great? He's the Son of God. What made Him great? He was born of a virgin. What made Him great? He had no blood of Adam in Him. Huh? Oh my. Who are we going to compare with Him? What man could you compare with the Lord Jesus Christ? Huh? He said Himself, He made Himself not robbery to be equal with God when He took upon Himself the nature of a man and found in fashion as a man and became a servant. He said He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That means that He never, that if I was to say that I was great and I had some virtue and I had some merit and I could do something to please God, that I could do something for my own sin, I would be robbing God. But when Christ said, I'm equal with Him, when Christ said, I'm sinless, when Christ come before God, He never robbed God of anything because He was God Himself. Huh? Oh my. Listen. Oh, among men, when we talk about Him, He's the firstborn of every creature. He was the first. He's the Son of God. And there's no creature born before Him. And among the resurrected, when we talk about the resurrected, He's the firstborn from the dead. He raised Himself from the dead. And among those that's already in glory and the spirits of just men made perfect, He's the object of their glory and the object of their worship. Oh, He shall be great as a man. And He's one with us. And yet He's so far beyond us that we just throw up our hands and say, Hallelujah. What a blessed Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. He fills us with such awe. Our nature is limited. Our nature is sinful. Our nature is fallen. His nature is unbounded. It's holy. It comes from God. And who shall declare His generation? God said this, when the first begotten is brought into the world, let all the angels of God worship Him. Oh my. Perfect in His nature, God and man. How can that be? I don't know. But that's what it says right there I'm reading. Ain't that right? Call His name Jesus. That's His humanity. Yet He's the Son of the Highest. That's His Godhead. That does something for me nothing else could do on this earth. And oh, look at the greatness of His offices. Oh my, talking about great. Look at the grandness of His offices. Look as a Redeemer. Oh, we talked about a Redeemer last Wednesday night. You know what a Redeemer does? When the children of Israel was in bondage and slaves down in Egypt, God said, listen, I'm going to bring my people up out of Egypt. They're slaves down there. They're in bondage down there. They're slaves to Egypt. That's what we were. We were slaves in Egypt, slaves in the world, slaves to sin, slaves to the flesh, under bondage. But God said, listen, get a lamb. Get you a lamb. And you shed His blood. And you take that blood and you apply that blood. And He said, and when I pass by, I'll pass over everywhere that blood's at. Well, Christ shed His blood on Calvary's cross, took that blood, and bless His holy name, He took that blood and took it to God, and God accepted that blood, and everyone who's washed in the blood of Christ, God said, I'll pass over them. Why? Because Christ paid the price. Everybody died in that lamb that night, and every one of us in Christ died when Christ died. And I tell you what, when He buys you from bondage, whom the Son set free, how free is He? He shall be free indeed. And you know what it is that sets us free? Truth. Truth. And then let me tell you something else about His offices. Oh my, He's a prophet. Oh, He was a prophet like no other prophet. Moses is a great prophet. Isaiah is a great prophet. But Christ, He came, He's the only one could fully tell out God. They all just talk some things about God. Some of them just talk some things about Christ. But when Christ came, He is the only one that can say, I am the one that only through me can you know God. I come to tell out God fully. Everybody, listen, I don't know how to say that. When Christ was on this earth, if you heard from God and you heard from God now, you're going to hear through Jesus Christ. Ain't that right? Nobody knows the Father but the Son, and He to whom the Son will reveal Him. Huh? If I want to know anything about God, you know where I'm going to find it at? I'm going to find it in Christ. God's fully told out in His blessed Son. And then He's our priest. You know, a priest has two things to do. He represents the sinner before God, and God to the sinner. And a priest has to have something to offer. He's got to have a sacrifice. And then he's only got one altar that he can put that sacrifice on. Well, Christ Himself offered Himself without spot to God, entered into that holy place with His own blood, and you know what He came back out with for us? He was the altar on which He offered His own blood. And He came back out And he brought from God to us an eternal redemption. That's what he brought back for us, eternal redemption. And then he's a king. David, when Mephibosheth came before David, he said, "Oh, why'd you even look at a dead dog like me?" And he says, "Oh, don't fear, don't you worry." He said, and he put him at that king's table. And the king clothed him, and the king fed him, and the king took care of him all the days of his life. Christ feeds us, clothes us, and we sit at his table. Don't we? I'm sitting at his table right now. And Mephibosheth, when he is at that table, you know, he was lame on his feet. He couldn't walk. Somebody had to carry him everywhere. Well, that's the way we are. Christ has to carry us, or else we ain't going to get there. But anyway, when his feet was under that king's table, you couldn't see that deformity. And they're sitting at the king's table, we have no deformities. Oh, we don't have none either. Oh, who can compare with him? Who can compare with him? Have you ever seen Isaiah 9:6? Have you ever seen Isaiah 9:6? Oh, look at this. I'd say every one of you. I don't know why I always say bet. It's just habit, I guess. Need to stop that. Got enough bad habits without having some in the pulpit. But look what it says here about him in Isaiah 9:6. This is what we're talking about. Talking about who going to compare with him. For unto us a child is born. That's what we was talking. That's what he told Mary. You're going to have a child. Call his name Jesus. And unto us, sinners, a son is given. God so loved that he gave. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Every one of these capitalized. Who is as wonderful as him? Counselor, when we need wisdom, we go to him. He's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Oh, what names, what names, what names. All right, let me go back over here and let me tell you some more things about him. Oh, in his nature, in his offices, and then in his glorious, glorious work. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when said he shall be great, he had a glorious, glorious work given to him. Now, when I was looking at this morning, I automatically thought, I'm a procrastinator. I am really, really a procrastinator. I'm one of the worst. If I can put it off till tomorrow, it's not going to get done. And if I can put it off then, it won't get done. I just put off and put off and put off until I absolutely have no choice, or else somebody else gonna do it. You know, I really am bad, and I am bad for that. Anybody knows me very well would say, I'll get to it. I'll get to it." You know, there's this little old round thing you used to be able to get, little old round wooden thing that says, "I'll get around to it." You know, somebody gave me one time, because that's what I always said. Gave me one of them. But here's you one of them round to it. I should have kept that thing. And every time I said that, I just handed it to whoever told me to do something. Ah, boy. I tell you what, but oh, our Lord, oh, look how he is in his glorious work. Our Lord didn't neglect his work. I put it off, but Christ didn't. He came into this world to do a work. And he came into this world and he did not neglect that work. He fulfilled all of his office and he fulfilled his work. That's why he's called the faithful and true witness. You know, he finished the work that the Father gave him. And we'll get to his work here in a moment. Our Lord Jesus, when he was at the well with the woman, his disciples went off to get some food and came back and offered him some food. He said, "I've got meat to eat that you know not of." He said, "The Father gave me a work and I must finish that work." First time it's mentioned, finishing the work. Second time it's mentioned is in John 17, and so he said, "O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. I finished the work that you sent me to do." And then the last time he mentioned finishing the work was in John 19:30, when he said this, and he lifted up his head and he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. Oh, he undertook a great work. And I tell you what, and I'm going to tell you, he accomplished the work God sent him to do. What was that work? He came into this world to be our representative before God. We can't represent ourselves before God. But he came to do everything in his life that we couldn't do. And when he come time, all the time he is in this world, he bore his people's sins in his own body on a tree. And he took those sins and he bore them all away. So far away that God said, "I will not remember their sins and iniquities no more." Huh? And he went to the grave after he did that. And when he walked out of the grave, he left death dead at his feet. Huh? And then when he come out of that grave, he brought life with him. He brought immortality with him. He brought resurrection with him. He brought everything we need to face God with. Oh my. And in his resurrection, everything that held us captive, he took it away and wrapped it up and led captivity captive. And he came back down here and he gave gifts unto men. What gifts? Salvation, life, eternal life, repentance and faith, joy and peace, righteousness and justification. He gave us everything. And I tell you what, people say, "I don't want to be a charity case." That's all I've ever been. That's all I've ever been. That's all I've ever been. Oh my. I tell you what, he delivers, he conquers, he liberates, he saves. No wonder they say he shall be great and be called the Son of the Highest. Now let's talk about what he's worth. Let's talk about his merits. His merits. Now this is something. What made our Lord Jesus Christ so acceptable to his Father? What made him, his sacrifice, so valuable and so precious? What made it that way? Because of his merit. He had infinite merit. You and I have no merit. I know they have these organization stuff and they get people merit badges and all that stuff, but a human being has no merit. What's merit? That means that you've done something worth being recognized for. Have you ever done anything worth being recognized for? Huh? And worth. Oh, his merit and his worth. What's his merit and worth? It's infinite. It's eternal. And his life that has such merit and is such worth before God. And I'll tell you something, and I know this, he's the only one before our eyes and before our faith and before our heart, he's the only one that has any merit. He's the only one that has any worth. And I've done this before. I take a piece of paper. Now watch me now. And I put 3 zeros on that piece of paper. What you got? I put 3 more zeros on that piece of paper. You got 0. I'm going to put 3 more on there. That's 9 zeros. But them zeros ain't worth nothing. A zero is a zero. But now you put 1 in front of it, and it becomes worth something. That's the way we are. Just 0, 0, 0, 0, 0 until Christ is put in the equation. And he's the only one that makes us worth anything. Huh? Who Scott used to say he ain't worth spit on the ground. He said one time, and I tell you, I never will forget it. He said it at 13th Street, and that place was packed with people. He was in this conference in June. I think it was June he had his conference. But he had his conference up there, and Scott was up preaching, and he said, "You know what you're worth?" Nobody ever heard this said before. He said, "You're worth about a warm pitcher of spit." And you just went, But everybody understood what he meant. Everybody understood what he meant. Well, what are you worth? Warm pitcher spit. Let me hand that to you. Oh, but who is worth something? Who is worth? Christ does. Huh? His life, his worth and merit is so glorious and so great, his life and death covers all believers from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, from their heart to the outside of their body. He covers everything about them. Huh? Oh my. And I tell you what, he covers us, his worth and merit is so great that he covers us with his obedience. As far as God's concerned, he's such worth, and when we trust him, we have his obedience. He perfectly obeyed God. I tell you what, in him, we perfectly obey God. That's what his worth is. That God will look at every one of us and all of his people and say, "My son is such worth and merit that I'm going to count every one of them as if they did exactly what he did. He obeyed me perfectly. He's got enough worth that I can give everybody else perfection too." We was down in Cookville yesterday. I'm going to tell you a real quick story. I don't know if y'all know who Thomas Aquinas is. He's a Catholic. And he's supposed to be a theologian. But I've seen a place down in Cookville, St. Thomas Aquinas. Tell you what, Aquinas, the first place that ever, he was the first man who told the Catholic Church that if a man had enough grace, more grace than he needed, he'd give some to somebody else. If he had more merit than he needed, he could give it to somebody else. And that's where saints were born. And so you got a saint, you know, if you got a certain need, you go to that particular saint, and he'll give you some of his merit, give you some of his grace, or whatever. Now ain't that the awfulest, blasphemous thing you ever heard? Huh? But I tell you what, when you talk about Christ, he had so much grace and so much obedience, and his worth and merit was such before God that he could give it to as many people as God chose to give it to. And when he looks at us, he says, "Oh my, that's another one of my obedient children. He's obeyed me perfectly." Oh, how'd you do that? In Christ. Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of Christ's people. He gives us a perfect standing. He clothes us with his absolute righteousness. He covers our hearts with his obedience and righteousness. And I'm telling you, our hearts. And he gives us, as far as he's concerned, a sinless, perfect heart. Now, what do you mean by that? I mean that what Christ did, he gave to us. He had an obedient heart. God gives us a heart that's obedient. Huh? And I tell you what, he gave us this glorious garment, and he says this, he made us accepted. We're at in the beloved. I found that song on my desk the other day. You need to sing that. I'm going to get that out and let you sing that, Pam. Oh my. Accepted in the beloved. And I tell you, washed in his blood, clothed with his righteousness. Now, listen, it's hard for you to see this, but when you look at me, I'm shining like the sun. I've got on this perfect, beautiful, white garment. Where'd you get it at? Washed it white in the blood of the Lamb. You can't see it, but God did. And I look at you, all I see what you got on, but I also can see that you got just everything I've got. It's just beautiful garment. It makes you shine like the sun. Oh, I tell you. And we have a claim. We plead a claim before God that can never be denied. And that's Him. As long as we bring Him, God can never deny us. You know why? Because He can't deny Himself. Huh? What He's done, beloved, He's turned our heaven, our hell, into heaven. He turned our disease into health. He raised us from the dunghill and set us among princes. Huh? And I tell you what, He shall be great in the number and the multitude in which He saved. I'm gonna read a hymn to you here. You know, talking, this is what I'm trying to say. And this, you know, He's turned our hell into heaven, our disease into hell, raised us from the dunghill and set us among princes. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus I come. Out of my sickness, into thy health. Out of my want, into thy wealth, Jesus I come. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus I come. Into thy glorious gain and thy cross, Jesus I come. Out of sorrows into thy balm. Out of life's storms into thy calm. Out of my distress to thy jubilant psalm, Jesus I come. Out of unrest and arrogance and pride, Jesus I come. Into thy blessed will to abide, Jesus I come. Out of myself, into thy love. Out of despair, into raptures above. Upward on wings like a dove, Jesus I come. Out of fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus I come. Into the joy of the light of thy home, Jesus I come. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of thy sheltering fold. Ever thy glorious face to behold, Jesus, I come. That's the only way we can do. And let me tell you what. You know His merit and worth. You look at how many people He's saved, and you'll find out what He's worth, how much His merit. He saved a multitude that no man can number. They say they got these massive musicians, you know, these computers. When God says no man can number them, that means computers and everything else. People say, well, old computer can compute to this. They can't compute what God's done. Don't even come close. Ain't that right? Oh, I tell you what, I got to hurry. I tell you, I've took too long. I'm going to make just a couple of little comments. He is the greatest and most glorious being to His people. Who can praise Him enough? Huh? Who can extol Him the highest? Who of us here can say He's done more for me than He has for you? Can any of us say here? I often say that God's blessed me more than anybody I've ever known or ever met. And yet every one of you will say exactly the same thing. And I tell you what, this is going to be our blessing. Our blessing and our delight in eternity is to love Him and to praise Him forever and ever. And you know what? He's the very glory of heaven. The very glory of heaven. He's the testimony of heaven. When men get to heaven, they're not going to say, I. But Him. Oh my, Paul said, I live, yet it's not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And oh my, while we're on this pilgrim journey, and we're on a pilgrim's journey, and we're poor people, poor people. We're charity cases. But I tell you, somebody that gives us everything we need on our journey. You need bread? He's our bread. You need water? He's our water. You need protection? We shelter under the shadow of His wing. And you know what? When He comes to get us, bless His holy name, we'll no longer be strangers and pilgrims. We'll be in that city whose foundation and maker is God Himself. Won't that be something? Our Father, oh, blessed be Your name. Oh, Lord, bless Your holy name. Oh, God, blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, bless our Savior. Bless His holy name. Oh, Lord, get a little loss before You other than just to praise You, just to bless You, just extol You, just to worship You in the wonder of Your glorious person. Oh, God, what a blessing to be in Your presence. What a blessing, oh God, to be able to call on You. What a blessing to stand before You, perfect, perfect, righteous. We thank You. We thank You, all of us here today, in one heart and one accord. We say, bless Your holy name. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen.